Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of Family Matters with Kenny and Kwajalein. I am one of the hosts, Kenny, and I have my beautiful wife on the line. Kwajalein, honey, are you there?
Hello.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Today's date is, of course, October 25th, 2016, and our show is started to broadcast as usual, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And tonight's topic is going to be about pregnancy and infant loss awareness. October is Pregnancy Infant Loss Awareness Month. Many families are left dealing with the devastation of losing a baby during pregnancy or shortly after. This is a tragedy that occurs more than what many people realize. What can be done to help families during this grieving process? And what resources are available for the families? Again, thank you for joining us on tonight, October 25th, 2016. 8 p.m. Eastern Time, as we discuss this topic to help families during the difficult times in their life of losing a loved one. I'm going to go ahead and open up the lines, and my first call on the air, ending in 1398, you're on the air.
Hi, kids. How are you all?
Great, Ms. Brunner. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Hi, baby. I'm just listening in. I miss y'all
all right.
Last week.
We miss you,
yes,
too.
Ma'am. We miss you, too.
But Johnson and Kim, they did a fine job.
Yes, they did. I went back and listened to some of the show, and I think they did very good for it being their first time broadcasting the show.
Yeah, they did. Excellent.
They did.
Well, again, mm-hmm. You know your line is always open, so if you have anything
all
to
right,
add
babe.
To the topic, please feel free to chime in.
All right, thank you.
Caller in again, 0135, you're on the air.
Hey, everybody, it's Keto.
What's up, brother?
Hey,
how you doing,
Keto.
Man?
Man, I can't complain. I cannot complain.
Then,
well, then again, yeah, I could, then, but.
What?
How's everybody else today?
You afraid nobody would listen, huh?
Man. I've been around the block enough times to know that only people listen is people trying to get in your business. It's rare to find people who actually care.
Well, you know I care, bro. So you know you
oh,
can
know.
Hit me on the phone, man, and you know I'm there.
I know that's right.
Well, if you have anything to add to the topic, brother, please feel free to do so.
I definitely will. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Call it in again, 8277. You're on the air.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, Lynn.
Hello there.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good.
Well, praise the Lord. That's awesome. That's awesome. You know that line open, though. You have anything to add to the topic, so we'd look forward to hearing from you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. All right, again, callers, thank you all for calling in. Listeners that are listening all over the world, we thank you for listening in and chiming in to the show on tonight. And if you have anything to add on to the topic, if you're listening via internet and you're streaming, please feel free to call in at 657-383-1571. Again, that number is 657-383-1571. We look forward to hearing from you. callers again. We're here and we're talking about a topic that is it's not a very rare topic to talk about, but it's something that many people never have experienced in their life when it comes to, you know, actually having kids and actually losing children, whether it be during the 9 month birthing phase or actually after mom has given birth to the baby. But we're gonna leave the lines open for everybody to chime in and talk. But I just got a new call, and that's my pastor calling
in.
You doing, pastor? You there?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
What's going on?
We're doing pretty good on this end. How's everybody on that end?
We good to go. We praising them. We lifting them up.
Amen. That's right. Hey, Pastor Kwajalein.
Hey.
Well, you know your line is open, madam, so if you have anything to add to the topic, please feel free to do so.
Yes, sir.
All right, everybody, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to be quiet for a moment and pass the line to my beautiful wife so that she can start the topic off on tonight.
Yes, yes, yes. First of all, before we actually go into the topic, I wanted to just, you know, cover this on tonight because it is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month, but I also wanted to address a couple other things. First of all, this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Ladies, let's make sure that we are doing our regular checks. Let's make sure that we are getting our mammograms. I'm about to be 40, so that's going to be my first time. Not looking forward to it, but, you know, hey, got to try to make sure everything's all right. So making sure that, you know, we're doing our checks monthly. If you have any strange lumps, bumps, making sure we're getting those things checked out, any discharge, irritation around your nipples, any deformities or anything like that, anything, thickness, anything that's new, you know, that wasn't there. Let's make sure we, you know, do our checks. If we notice anything, make sure we are seen. We go and we're seen. So I just wanted to put that out there before we get into the topic. Okay, Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness. Everyone on the phone knows that this is something that Kenny and I are very familiar with. So we're not only speaking from, things that we've researched, but also from personal experience. So we're going to go, you know, both ways, from experience as well as from the things we research. First of all, I want to talk about miscarriage. A miscarriage is a loss of pregnancy before 20 weeks. I know, you know, sometimes it's kind of hard to see because you give birth to a baby at 19 weeks, but they still consider that as a miscarriage. There are different types of miscarriages, just a couple I want to mention. A chemical pregnancy, that happens, it's a chemical pregnancy that results in a miscarriage when the egg is fertilized, but for some reason it doesn't implant. These are the type of pregnancies that happen often, and a lot of women have experienced miscarriages, and they are not even aware that they have miscarried a baby because a lot of times when you have these type of pregnancies, it happens around your cycle. Your body will abort the baby around your cycle. So although a miscarriage is common, people don't realize that they are as common as they are. And what I'm loving is that now we see a lot of celebrities and, you know, people that are coming out with their stories, letting people know, hey, this is common and it's not anything that you have to be ashamed of, because I think that's something that a lot of women deal with, is being ashamed the fact that they have lost a baby or multiple babies. And so, you know, people are coming out and they're giving their stories. But, again, this is something that happens very common, and it, you know, could possibly have happened to women that didn't even know that it has even happened to. Now, there's also A-N-E-M,
Okay. Anebrion.
Anebrion. Okay.
Anebrion.
We probably got that all wrong. Okay, so
anebrion.
I'm going to spell it A-N-E-M-B-R-Y-O-N-I-C. I need to start listening to how to pronounce these words. Pregnancy. That's when you have a sac with no baby. Okay, we have another caller. Evangel Saria, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Hello, everyone.
Hi, how are you?
Fine.
Good. Well, thank you for calling in, and I'm glad you called in tonight, because before we close the show, I want you to talk about your book that's coming out right at the end before we close.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
You're welcome. And your line will be open, so we look forward to whatever you have to say on tonight. So, again, that's a, you know, the pregnancy where you can have a sac with no baby. And this happens, you know, this does also happen quite a bit. And I think the sad thing about this one, well, all of them are sad, but, you know, this type of pregnancy, you see this happen. It carries a lot longer than a chemical pregnancy sometimes. So people actually know they're pregnant, and then they go to the doctor, and there's a sac. But the sac is empty. Miscarriages are usually due to defective eggs. That's the primary cause, what they say. However, it can also be due to certain things like low hormones, thyroid problems, infections. Some people have fetal blocking antibiotics. Prolactin levels. Again, hormones. So it's a lot of different things. You know, STDs. It's a lot of different things that that could cause miscarriages. Something that I want, again, if you're listening on the internet and you would like to call in, please call in at 657-383-1571. If you would like to put in on the conversation, if you have any input, if you would like to share any experiences, please call in at 657-383-1571. Okay. So these are different things that could cause a miscarriage. What I want to talk about as far as a miscarriage before we even go into a stillbirth, first of all, the ways, you know, there are certain ways. You have countless stories, many stories of women finding out that they're pregnant, finding out at 6 weeks, you know, that, or, you know, when the periods are late, that they're pregnant, they go to the doctor, you know, everything, and they get in there, and either there's a heartbeat, and then they go back later, and there's no heartbeat, or they are at home, and they just start bleeding one day. And some of the things that Kenny and I would just like to share is, I think sometimes that we're not as sensitive to women who are experiencing a miscarriage. And I wanted to say that, or have, we have to keep in mind that a loss is a loss, and it doesn't matter how long that woman carried that baby, that was still a baby. And sometimes people will say, so here's our list of things not to say when you know someone that has had, that has endured a miscarriage. I'll let my husband go first.
The first thing that is commonly said is that, well, girl, at least you know you can have a baby. Just try again.
Right. That's definitely not something to say when a woman is or has experienced a miscarriage. Although it comes from a great place, you have the best intentions, trying to give that woman hope. Hey, you know, look, you got pregnant. That's still not the best thing to say, because at that time she's grieving the loss of that baby, and not just that time. It goes on. Even if you have a baby after that, you still grieve the loss of that baby. Another thing is, well, at least you already have children. Again, she may already have children. The dad may already have children, but that's still their baby.
And as a father, one thing I can definitely say after, you know, my wife and I have experienced, you know, miscarriage and stillbirth. The one thing that you know that really, really many people don't look at is that parents or potential parents, if you will, the first thing they do when they find out, you know, the pregnancy test says pregnant or it has the positive symbol on it, on there, parents immediately prepare themselves for the things to come. And when those things that they're expecting to come after the reading the words pregnant or reading the positive sign on the test, when those things don't happen, then they're grieving the loss. They're grieving the loss of the things that were to be that didn't come. So we still have to make sure, you know, and nobody can say how long you can be in the grieving phase for losing a baby, whether, you know, she was 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 4 weeks, you know, a couple months even. Nobody can say how long a person grieves, but at the same time, it's best to console a person. And consoling a person basically just means, you know, gracing them with your presence. You don't necessarily have to have something to say. You know, you can say something simply as, hey, you know, I'm sorry for your loss, you know, and just leave it simple like that. Because most of the time when people are scrounging, trying to find the words to say, they wind up saying things that can be detrimental to somebody's emotional state.
And I love that you said you can say, I'm sorry for your loss. Because, again, I think that's something that we have to realize that although, you know, this was an early pregnancy, it's still a loss. And some people really don't get that's a loss. I remember back in Texas, I used to talk to this young lady. We went to the same church, and this was before I had ever gotten pregnant. We both dealt with infertility for a while, but she ended up getting pregnant. And she got pregnant, and she lost her baby. And so we were on the phone, and we used to talk, and we used to have a lot of, kind of heated conversations, I'll say. We used to have a lot of disagreements when we talked, but there were a lot of things that we also, you know, agreed upon that we had in common. And so one day we were talking about both of us desiring babies. This was before we even, you know, we adopted Jeremiah. We both wanted to be moms. And so I made the statement to her. I was just saying, you know, well, I believe that one day God is going to, you know, give you your desire and that you're going to be a mom. And she said, I am a mom. She said, just because my baby's not here doesn't mean I'm not a mom. And that was something that truly changed my life, and it changed my perception, because she was right. She was right. That was her baby. She's still a mother to that baby. And just because that baby did not survive does not mean she was not a mom. So, you know, just being careful about some of the things we say and when we say it. You know, there is some things do need to be said, but there's a time to say things. And I think that was one of the biggest things after Kenny and I lost the twins. You know, there were a lot of good things that were being told to me, but it was just premature. You know, it was just too soon. So we have to understand that, you know, it is a grieving process. It's a loss. Hold on 1 second. We have another caller. Mitch, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing tonight?
Good. Your line is open if you have anything to say.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So that is still a loss. Now, there are different ways to, you know, after we find out, after a person, a woman finds out that, you know, her baby has died in utero, there are different ways to have, you know, to go ahead and have the baby aborted. Sometimes our bodies do it naturally. All of mine have been natural. Sometimes they give you medication to induce, and then there's the DNC, you know, where they'll go in and they'll pretty much scrape all the remainings out. But, you know, I think one of the things, something else that people don't realize with a miscarriage opposed to like a stillbirth is when a woman is having a miscarriage, she's still going on about her day. An early miscarriage, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, 8 weeks, 9 weeks, 10 weeks. You know, a lot of us that still have babies or young kids or families, you know, you're not on bed rest or anything. You're going on, you're still going on about your day, doing your thing, and but in your mind and in your heart, you know that your body is aborting your baby, and that's a hard thing. And even, you know, to you go to the bathroom and the baby comes out and you have to flush it, or you know, that is something that a lot of women deal with psychologically, and it's a hard thing to deal with. And if you've never experienced it, then you know the term miscarriage, you know what it means. But this is you know the term, you know what it means, but it's still something else to actually go through it. You have the physical pains, you know, the cramps and everything. So it's a hard thing. I know this last miscarriage that I had, because I've had two since we've been here, two since we've been in Virginia. And this last one I had, we went to a cookout, you know, birthday party and everything. And, you know, we hadn't even told them that I was pregnant, because I just had a miscarriage before. And so we didn't tell about the second one, just in case I lost that baby. Because, you know, some people, they feel uncomfortable. They're like, okay, if she, especially for people like me who have a history of loss, people don't know what to say. And so I've gotten to the point where I'll tell certain people, I don't want to tell people that I know feel uncomfortable, because I don't want to put them in that position. And so, you know, I'm going on about my day, laughing and talking and all at the same time, you know, miscarrying my baby. And that is something that, again, it can really take a toll on you, you know, psychologically, emotionally. You know, it really can. Does anyone have anything to say before we go any further? Well, we will go ahead. I would also like to say this. When you know someone who has experienced a miscarriage, and this is pretty much going to be the same when it comes to stillbirth or, you know, a baby that died early on after being born, they still have, you know, you're going through the grieving process, like my husband said. No one can tell you how long to grieve, just, you know, again, like he said. But there's a feeling of loss. There are times where they may be angry, feel guilty, confusion, fear, you know, the fear of getting pregnant again, because sometimes that's something that you want to do as soon as you lose a baby. You want to get pregnant again, because sometimes you feel like you failed. Like, I failed. My body was not supposed to do this. My body was created, you know, as a woman to be able to give birth to a baby, and I failed. But even in that, you still have a fear of, what if it happens again? What if I can't hold this baby either? Hopelessness, and again, you know, like I said, the physical pain that goes along with that. So when you know someone that is going through that, and if they do have spouts of anger, you know, they're crying, they don't understand, don't take it personal, because it's not personal, because they might snap. They just might, you know, just like with any other process of grieving, there may be times where, you know, they might be snapping, but it's not anything personal. It's, you know, just a lot of things going on. And then still hormonally, you still have those things too. You still have those things that are going on. Do you have anything, baby?
Yes. One thing I want to add on to what my wife was saying is, when it comes to the anger, there are going to be things, okay, that are going to trigger, you know, that grieving mom's, it's going to trigger her thinking about the fact of her having lost the baby or the babies, you know, depending on how many times she's lost a child through miscarriage. So when those things, those moments happen, and they, and there's something that triggers, it could be something as simple as a smell or a sound, or a time of the year where it triggers her, right? If she's still going through the grieving process, then we still have to give, we're basically, you're basically submitting yourself, you know, to make sure that you're there for her through her time of grieving. So don't think or consider yourself as being a punching bag verbally, or, you know, that she go again lashing out, she getting on my nerve with this crap. You know, don't think like that. What we have to do is realize that that's going to be a time and a place, you know, just as the Word of God says, there's a time to grieve, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. There's going to be times where she's going to be up. There's going to be times she's going to be down. There's going to be times where she's going to be angry. There's going to be times when she's not angry. And you know, that emotional roller coaster, you know, granted, you're getting on that emotional roller coaster with her. But, you know, you have to maintain your composure and make sure that when it happens, you know, that you're still there, and you're pretty much not redirecting, but in a sense you are redirecting and trying to get her mind back focused on, you know, that present moment. So that way, you know, her heart and her emotional state is in good hands with you, and that you're a good steward of her feelings. You know, and even with the grieving process, you know, fathers grieve too. You know, and most of the time, men internalize pain a lot differently, or the loss of, you know, a loved one a lot differently than women do. But that still doesn't take away the fact that men hurt just like women hurt too when it comes to losing the baby. Because, like I said, you're grieving at the fact of you lost the baby. You're grieving of the fact of not having to witness, or not being able to witness and see the things that you expected or wanted to come forth like you thought they should at that particular moment, you know. But I want to go back on something that my wife said earlier when she said about the miscarriages, and you know, she gave the different types of miscarriages. God has made our bodies so complex that, you know, when it comes to a natural miscarriage, if there's something prematurely wrong with the egg during the fertilization stage, then a woman's body will naturally pass it majority of the time. But there are times where she may need assistance. Giving examples, you know, like my wife said, the DNC, you know, medication for what was the word you used?
The medication.
Mm-hmm.
Medication induction.
Okay, yeah, that's it. The medication induction. Y'all forgive me. I had a brain cramp real quick. I'm sorry. But through it all, let's just make sure that if we have any friends, we have any loved ones that are experiencing or have experienced, you know, stillbirth, miscarriages, that we're there for them. You know, because a good support system goes a long way. And I'm grateful to God for the support system that my wife has had throughout the years, you know, and even the support I had, you know, from our friends all together and family members all together, definitely a blessing, and it truly, truly, truly helped us get through a lot of our hard times.
Right, and I'm glad you brought that up about the men grieving too, because that is something that, you know, we often forget, that the men also have lost a baby as well. You know, I was going to bring that up, so I'm glad you did, baby. they've lost, you know, as well. So, and it's a hard thing. So if you know a couple that is going through it, has gone through it recently, you know, just being there, saying prayers for them, you know, and understanding. Standing as best as you can, because if you've never been through it, I don't want you to ever go through it, to ever just be able to personally feel that, because it is it's hard.
It is truly hard, and being there for them, there's times, ladies and gentlemen, callers, where they're going to be going through a stage, women and men, you know, are going to go through a stage to where they're going to feel angry, and they might not want to pray when you want to pray. They might not want for you to pray for them right now, because now they're searching for answers, and they're asking God, why did this have to happen this time? And it could be the first time, or why does this keep happening to me? You know, and when they say that, don't think that they're turning their back on God and they're rejecting God, because it's not necessarily that they are. You know, the Word of God tells us to be angry but sin not. And at the time, they might not feel like praying at that time, but that does not mean they're turning their back on God. But it still does not negate from the fact that you, as you know, their support, are not going before the throne of grace and praying for them, even if you have to do it in secret. You know, because the Word of God also talks to us about praying in secret. We praying in secret, and what happens? We know exactly what happens. I don't want to insult nobody's intelligence or the Word, but you all know where I'm coming from. So I just wanted to put that out there because I love to pray, and then I've actually had times where, you know, I was just like, man, I'm just so beat right now. My mind is just so gone right now that right now, Lord, I want to just talk to you. And just talking to him, you know, most people get into the formal setting where, you know, they're like, hey, I'm going to get down on my knees, I'm going to close my eyes. But talking to God, God wants you to talk to him. He wants to hear your heart because he knows what you're going through even before you go through it. So talking to him, it's very important that we have a good prayer system. So we have good prayer support and your support for somebody. Make sure you're praying for them. If they don't feel like praying at that particular moment, it's okay. You pray for them in secret. You pray for them while you're there in their presence, because the Word of God says, "Where two or more are gathered, I will dwell in the midst." Okay, so you gather with that person, right? You and it could be a couple of other people. That lady or that man may not want to pray at the time, but you got two or three people that are praying in the name of Jesus, praying for, you know, their friend or their loved one. God is in the midst. He's dwelling in the midst. That's what the words say. I'm just saying.
Right. That's right. That's right. Prayer. Now I want to move on to talking about stillbirths, 20 weeks and after. A lot of times when a woman, you know, has a baby that's stillborn, it's due to illness, something that is, you know, gone wrong with the baby. They may find something that's wrong with the baby. And in some cases, it's not even just about, you know, it's not even just about the baby being stillborn, but sometimes if the woman is pregnant and the pregnancy is threatening her life, or they find that the baby is going to be, you know, severely handicap, will not have a quality of life, then there's also, you know, they present some people with the option of terminating the pregnancy or continuing to carry, and you know, we've talked about that on the show recently. That's a hard decision, but in the end, it comes out to the same thing. You know, you lost a baby. Again, like my husband was saying, you had hope, you had plans, you had dreams for this baby, and you find out prior to having the baby that it's not going to be. You know, there are people that have had, they've gone 9 months and had the baby, and the baby was stillborn. So, yet again, some of the same feelings, loss, anger, guilt, confusion, fear, hopelessness. Again, keeping in mind that when this woman has this baby, she has to give birth to this baby or babies. You know, sometimes it's more than one. And everything that our bodies go through when we give birth to a live baby is what our bodies go through when we give birth to a baby that's not alive. You're still going to have your milk coming in. Everything is still the same. And when that was the hardest thing for me. And I wasn't really prepared for that. For those that are listening that do not know, my husband and I, we lost twins when I was 23 weeks pregnant. I found out I had been in the hospital. I had to have an emergency circlage. I was put in the hospital. And then I found out after being in the hospital a few weeks that I had developed an infection in my uterus. And when you develop an infection in your uterus, there is the baby has to be delivered. That's it just has to be, you know, delivered. So I was dying. Both of the girls were dying. They were already infected. And so, you know, pretty much we didn't have a choice. It was either going to be two funerals or three. So they gave me medication to go ahead and speed up my labor because I had already started going into labor. They stopped it, but they gave me medication to go ahead and speed up my labor. I went into labor, and then I gave birth to our twin girls, both of which were deceased when they were born. And I wasn't prepared for, that was my first pregnancy, so I wasn't prepared for the changes that my body was going to go through after having the babies. I wasn't prepared for that. And then once my body started going through those changes, I was already angry when I left the hospital. My first stop was to the funeral home. That's when I got angry. But I became even more angry as my body was going through all of these changes and I had no baby, not even one. You know, I asked God, like, why can't I keep one? You know, so my body was going through all of these changes, and I don't know if you can ever be prepared for anything like that. I just don't know. So, again, you know, if you know anyone that has gone through that, again, don't take their actions personal. Don't take the things that they say personal. Don't think that they're lashing out against, you know, lashing out towards you. I think the people that are closest to us get it the hardest. You know, you hear the saying, hurt people, but I don't think that's always intentional. Some people do, you know, you do have some people that would intentionally hurt you if they're hurting. But sometimes you're hurting and you're lashing out, but you're really not trying to hurt anybody. And a lot of times we do lash out at those that are closest to us because they're the safest place. You know, those are usually, you know, the people that we know, you know, they're going to still be there even though we acted out with them. They're still going to love us. They're still going to be there. And so that's what I find that we do, you know, a lot when we're going through tough times like that. But again, you know, stillbirth is common. It's common. And I do want to bring awareness to that. And if there is someone who's out there who's listening, you know, you are not alone. You are not the only one that has experienced it. Do not feel isolated because sometimes, especially as women, we feel, or even as couples, you know, you feel isolated. I know at one point, Kenny and I, we were the only couple out of all our couple friends that had ever dealt with infertility, that had ever dealt with miscarriage, and then it was stillbirth. Like, we were the only couple. And so sometimes you feel isolated. We know other couples now, but at that time, we didn't have friends that understood that. And so, you know, you just kind of feel alone, kind of isolated, and then you go through your moments and you want somebody to be there, but then you don't want to be a burden on somebody. And so then, you know, you try to hide it. But I just say this, if there's anybody out there who's listening, who's going through it, been through it, deal with your feelings. Do not try to hide it. Find somebody to talk to because there is a friend out there that will listen. Talk your way through it. Cry when you need to cry. Say what you have to say. Express what you have to express, even if people don't understand it, even if people don't like it. At one point, I really did feel like I killed my babies. My mom, my husband, they didn't like me to say that, my friends, but I said it. I don't regret saying it at that time because that's how I felt. Now, did I kill my babies? I did not kill my babies. I was not responsible, but at that time, that was part of what I went through. That was my guilt. I felt that way, but I had to work my way through that, and I did. I worked my way through it. Thank God that, you know, today I can say I know without a shadow of a doubt I was not at fault. There was nothing I did wrong. And so, you know, anybody that's listening, if you've gone through it, there is nothing that you did wrong. It is not your fault. It is not anything that's wrong with your body. There was nothing that you did wrong. We live in a natural world, and natural things happen. Will we have an explanation for all of it right now? We may not. We may not have an explanation. But I just believe, because I do believe in God, and I do believe, you know, that when we leave this earth, that there is, you know, there's another life, going to heaven. You know, and I do believe that during that time that we'll have an understanding, you know, that he will give us an understanding of the things that we do not understand on this earth, and that we have to put our trust in him and know that even in the bad times, that he's still God, he's still faithful, and that he's still true. And when we were going through that, that's when I had to make the decision, and I've said this over and over again, that's when I made the decision, you know, to continue to trust God, and I knew that I had to do that and that I was serving God not because of my circumstance, but just because of who he was and who he is, and that he's good despite my circumstances. He's just good just because he is good. And I had to realize that when, you know, during that time, and that's when I saw that where my faith truly, truly lied, and that, you know, that everything that my mom had put into me growing up as far as my faith, that it was really there. It was truly, truly there.
And what I wanted to say, because I know my wife has mentioned it before, but I'm going to say with the emotional hurt and pain comes the physical changes. And ladies, you would even experience your uterus continuing to switch and move about as if you were still, you know, you were still pregnant. And this is something that men should also know. And the reason why I'm bringing this out is because men should also know this, because you know, it's when you hear your fiance, your wife saying, hey, You know, it still feels like the baby's in here. That doesn't mean that she's having like a nervous breakdown and she's imagining, but it's still her uterus contracting as if she was still pregnant. So I'm saying that just to make it known and pretty much get the men in to know that this doesn't mean that you know your wife, your fiance, your girlfriend, she's going crazy or nothing like that. That doesn't mean that at all. She's really experiencing her body going through and her body preparing itself to give birth still. And then once the stage wears down to the point of where, you know, her her levels, what is it? What level is it?
Well, after you had a baby, your
HCG levels go down. But even after you have, you know, if there's a miscarriage or a stillbirth, a woman's body still goes through and prepares itself for a reset, basically, if you will, if for a lack of better terms. It prepares itself for reset, and your body actually is repairing itself from any wear and tear on the body due to, you know, the physical pain and the changes of labor. You know, your pelvis is actually shifting back into place. And so, men, if you don't know now, you know, these are the things that, you know, your significant other are going to experience. So I just wanted to put that out there.
You know, and I just wanted to say this, if there are any women out there who are listening and they're pregnant, you know, especially if you're in your second, third trimester, pay attention to your baby's movement, because I believe that some things can be, you know, prevented. Pay attention to how often your baby moves. As soon as you think that something's off, you know, that your baby's not moving enough, call your doctor. Call your doctor, because there are some things that can be prevented. So, you know, don't second guess it and think, oh, well, maybe, you know, it better to be safe than sorry. Even if it is okay, that's okay. I know there were times when I was pregnant with Jared because I really went through Jared. With Jared, I was really fearful. I had the twins. I lost them. Then after that, I had a miscarriage. And when we got to Germany, I got pregnant with Jared. And I was really, really fearful. And that's what everybody said. I was mean. I'm not saying I wasn't mean, but I was scared. I was scared of losing him. I was scared of if I did lose him, if I would be able to mentally make it back. You know, I was just like, I don't know if I can go through this again and survive it. You know, that's how I felt. And there were days, my doctor, he was so patient. I love my German doctor. But there were days where I didn't feel him move a lot, and I would call, and they would get me in immediately. He would be fine, you know, but they were very sensitive to it. That there was no waiting, no, well, wait a couple hours and coming in the morning, you know, or give it a couple days, you know. It was none of that. So if you feel anything, ladies, trust your instinct. Trust, I believe that God has given us a maternal instinct. Trust it. And if you feel anything's off, then please do call your physician. Again, better to be safe than sorry. Does anybody have anything to say or to share? Anybody?
I do.
Tonight. Go ahead, Miss Brenda.
I do. You know, I'm much older than all of you all, and it's been years and years and years ago, but when I was pregnant, baby, I never knew I was pregnant. I remember I had a dream one time. I dreamed I was having a miscarriage, and when I woke up, I was laying in a puddle of blood. I didn't go to the doctor. I was really and crazy, and I didn't really have nobody to go through things with me, so I went through them by myself. And as time passed, you know, I had another miscarriage, and it dropped in the toilet. It was just a big hunk of blood. That's the first time I ever just seen, you know, any results of besides just blood passing, you know. And it bothered me, but I never went to the doctor. I didn't discuss it with nobody. I just kept it to myself. And as I got older, I would cry and I would say, God, I said, I don't even know what I had. I don't know what it was. All I knew was just blood. So I really figured after I had all those miscarriages, I couldn't have a baby. So when I got pregnant with my first baby, I didn't pay it any attention because it wasn't nothing for me to miss my menstrual cycle for a couple of months or something. And that's when I went to the doctor. They told me I was 7 weeks pregnant, so I told them I wasn't pregnant, and they laughed at me. But, you know, it's sad when you really don't have nobody to share these moments with you, and you can't talk to nobody. You feel like you can't talk to nobody. And that's a hurting feeling. And like now, as old as I am now, from time to time, it really hits me hard. But I just pray and I just ask God, will it be a time that I'll see my child again or my children again? So, you know, it's just bad when you're by yourself and you don't have nobody you can talk to and fall back on but God, you know. And I know he knows best, but it bothered me for a long time.
Hello?
You didn't hear me?
Hello? Okay, sorry, y'all, our phone went dead. I'm so sorry. Is everybody there?
We are still here, yes, ma'am.
Yes,
okay,
I'm still here, Miss Brenda.
Okay, good. Miss Brenda, go ahead. I apologize.
Yeah,
we were so into the conversation, we didn't realize it was going dead.
Did they hear me?
Yes, ma'am, we heard you, Miss Brenda.
Okay, all right, okay.
Okay, so we missed it. Did you finish, Miss Brenda?
Yes.
They missed that.
Well, thank you. Go ahead.
Her ending was, she said it's just hard when you're going through that and you don't have anybody.
Yeah.
When you're going through losing baby after baby.
Hello, everybody.
How are you tonight?
Oh.
Hey, Mom.
Good to hear your voices. I wanted to just elaborate on what Miss Brenda was saying. In our time, things were not discussed. It was secretive. And I thank God that things have changed now and that you all are being schooled about your bodies, about life as a whole. But like I said, when we were growing up, we were not taught these things. So mm-hmm. when she was saying that there was no one there for her, that was because they felt like it was shameful to talk to us girls instead of preparing us for womanhood. Now, I prepared my girls for womanhood. I prepared my son for fatherhood because I think every parent should teach their children, sure, school should teach them, but it should start at home. And parents should teach their children. Even when we as young girls started our cycles, we weren't told anything about a cycle. We didn't know what was happening. We thought that we had did something wrong. But now, parents, sit down and talk to your girls and your boys. Do it together. You know, there was a time that it was said that fathers, you school your boys. Mothers, you school your daughters. But I feel like parents should sit down with their children together because God created it. And nothing that God created is shameful. And it will help in preparation whenever you do go through hardships of what you were discussing about the loss of a child. When I went through mine, I lost a child too. I had a miscarriage. My mom was not able to be there with me, but I was married. And I wasn't able to talk to my sister, no one. But thank God I was able to talk to my doctor. The doctor still didn't tell us a whole lot then as doctors do now. You can talk to your doctor about anything. If you have a doctor that you can't share, that doctor could not give you some confidence, then you need to find you a new doctor. Because the doctor's supposed to be your friend. Your doctor should be somewhat like not just a caregiver, but like I said, it should be, that doctor should be somewhat like a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, most people don't like to talk about miscarriages, stillbirth, because there was a lot of stillbirth back then in those days. My sister had a stillbirth, and we buried my niece. But now, there's still stillbirths, but not as common as it was back then. So that letting you know things have really changed a lot.
Amen.
you don't have your doctor, even now, you should be able to talk to moms now or grandmoms, you know, because relationships are better between children and their parents than they were back then.
Right. And like you said, you know, you didn't talk about things as much as we do now. And with medical technology and things, you know, I know some people don't like medicine. I thank God for medicine. With the technology that we have now, it has helped to decrease that amount. But I do think there's still, you know, the embarrassment that may come along with it, or the shame, which is why you're finding more people talking about it. You're finding more high-profile people that are coming out and sharing their stories. You're finding more women who've gone through it. You know, they're writing about it and blogging about it. I'm a blogger, I'm a writer, so I read a lot of blogs. And I'm seeing more of that, and it helps. Now with social media, you have the groups. You know, you have groups where women can go and be a support for one another. Because, again, you have some women that go through it, like Miss Brenda, and I want to come back to you, Miss Brenda. You know, they go through it by themselves. Some of them don't have to, but because of the shame, they choose to, you know. And I know what it's like to be to have a group of friends and you're the only one, and you do feel isolated, you know. You feel like that. So it's always good to have someone you can talk to, but also someone that you can relate to. Miss Brenda, would you say that you didn't have anyone then? How did you deal with it? Would you say you have dealt with everything, all of your feelings and everything that went along with your miscarriages?
Yes, I have now, but it lasted for years. It lasted for year after year after year. And I just wouldn't discuss it with nobody, you know. But I was young, you know. And like I said, I didn't even know I was pregnant, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Until one time when the baby dropped in the toilet. But the blood, you know, big hunk of blood. That was the first time
right.
I experienced hard cramps and all of that. But I still didn't know what was happening. I stayed constipated so much, I thought maybe it was just my, you know, constipation or something. When I was out of state then, I wasn't around my family. I was in somebody's house, and, you know, they helped me deal with it while I was there. But when I came back to Macon, I was living in Texas. I was in Texas, and when I came back home, I still didn't send it to my mama about it, but, you know, I just kept it to myself.
Right. And I had that same experience, actually, Miss Brenda, when we were in Germany, and we came to Georgia to visit, and we left, you know, that one time we were visiting. Well, I was pregnant, and I didn't know it. And that's when Jared was, 5-6 months or something? And I didn't know that I was pregnant. And when we had the layover in South Carolina, same thing, you know, like you said, same, just like you described it, the cramps and everything. I was laying down, had the cramps, and I went to the bathroom, and, you know, and I aborted the sack, and you could see the little baby in the sack. And I went and I woke Kenny up, and I'm like, Kenny, I just had a miscarriage. He was like, a miscarriage? And he came in and he looked at it, and I was just standing there, and he was like, well, baby, flush it. And I'm like, you know, for that's the difference between a woman and a man. I'm like, you know, just standing there in disbelief, like, this is, like, it's a baby in there. You know, I'm still sitting there like, can you see that? That's a baby in that sack. And he's like, well, baby, flush it. And, you know, I think sometimes you still deal with it. I know I sometimes still think about, not just stillbirths, I think about my miscarriages as well. Everybody knows I talk about my twins all the time. But I do still think about, you know, the babies that I lost by miscarriage, and I, like you, Ms. Brenda, wonder, you know, what they were. And, you know, but I don't talk about it a lot, I might think about it, but not really talk about it, you know. So I don't know. I think there's just people have to understand there's still a part of you that there always be kind of that void for the most part, you know, the what ifs, the, you know, those type of things. And so, you know, people just have to understand that. Not that you're not grateful for the babies that you have, because you are, you know, but they have everyone, every child has their perspective place. And I think that's what we have to keep in mind. And I know for babies that are born after a loss, they call those babies rainbow babies. So I have two, Kenny and I, we have two rainbow babies. Jared and Mariah, they both came, you know, after loss, so those are our rainbow babies. However, we also have to be mindful that there are some people that are not going to be able to have rainbow babies. You know, there are situations where people have lost babies, and in that loss, you know, they've lost their uterus. You know, there was something that cause them to, you know, lose their uterus or whatever. And some people, they get pregnant at one time and they never get pregnant again. So, you know, that's a whole nother topic to deal with when you have someone that has lost a baby, but they won't have the rainbow baby per se biologically. You know, now next month we're going to get into foster care and adoption, which is a passion of mine. But right now, you know, as far as being pregnant and being able to birth a child, there are some women who really will not be able to experience that at all. And then there are some women who will not be able to experience it as far as a live baby, you know, after something has happened with the one baby that they did lose. So, you know, it's a touchy subject, but it's real. It's sensitive. It brings up a lot of raw emotions, you know, a lot of feelings. And so, again, before we close out, I just want to encourage anyone listening, if you've gone through it, if you're going through it, talk to somebody. Get counseling. If you write in your journal, write down your feelings. You know, do not keep those things just bottled up. Like I said, you know, I think about my babies sometimes as far as, you know, the miscarriage. But if it gets to a point where I'm really, really down, first of all, if I try to hide it, I can't, because somebody is going to know. That's just how it goes, you know. But when it gets to the point that I, you know, if it gets to a point where I really, really, really need to talk, I'm going to talk, or I'm going to write, you know, something to express what I'm feeling. So, you know, get out your feelings. Be patient with yourself. Know that it's okay. Even if it's 10 years down the line, know that it's okay. It's okay to grieve your baby. Even if you had an abortion and you're grieving your baby, you regret it, it's okay to grieve your baby. That is still a loss. That was your baby, and that is still okay for you to shed your tears, for you to go through what you're going through. And then, of course, you know, pick yourself up. You know, we still have to keep moving forward, but it's okay to take out time to feel what you're feeling. I want to say this before we leave. One of the best things that the hospital did for us was they took pictures of the twins. Now, one of the best things my mom did for me, I don't know if I've ever told her this or not, but when I had them, I didn't want to hold them. Kenny didn't hold them, and I didn't want to hold them. My mom, she bathed them. She got them dressed and everything. But my mom put them on my lap, and she took a picture. I am so grateful for that. I'm grateful that she did put them on my lap, and I thank God for that. Because at the time, I didn't think that I would want it, but I'm glad that I had that. And I'm glad that they took pictures, you know, and that was great therapy for me. Especially when I first lost them, to just be able to go back and to, you know, just to look at the pictures and to hang on the memories and, you know, the little time that I did have with them. But there is a company called Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep. Now I lay me down to sleep, and they do photography for, you know, for infant loss, for people who have, you know, who are having stillborns, or, you know, who babies will be stillborn, or if, you know, your baby dies after NICU, because, you know, that's a whole, we can go into that, how, you know, your baby may live a little while and die in a NICU, and so it's, you know, all of that. But they do pictures, and they do beautiful work. They do beautiful work. I found out about them about 2 years ago. And, you know, for something so tragic, it helps to bring comfort to families. You know, whatever you have to do to memorialize, if you have to set off some balloons on the, you know, the your baby's birthday, you know, do whatever you have to do to keep your own baby's memory alive, you know, because that's your baby. So I just encourage, you know, everybody to do that. Again, like I said, talk to somebody, express yourself, pray, and, you know, be encouraged. Do be encouraged. Is there anyone that has anything to say before we close out on tonight?
I do, Pastor Kwajalein.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to share. I have a few of my friends listening by internet, and I have one of my friends. She has actually been messaging me this whole show, and I know her. I know she's crying because I can tell how she's messaging me. And she's too embarrassed to share, but I want to say two things. One from me, please do not let anybody tell you that it's time for you to get over your grieving. It is important for you to grieve. If you go through a grieving process every now and again for the rest of your life, as long as you put it back into perspective of your life, then there is no set limit on grieving.
That's right.
And so, I've watched people, even listen to my own pastor. Everybody knows the Pastor Kenny and Pastor Kwajalein. They're my pastors. Listening to their stories, the way some people did angered me, because people want to hurry up and make you hurry up. And so we just have to know how to disconnect that switch from those people. And if you want to talk about the babies, talk about the babies, you know. But what my friend was sharing with me, first of all, Pastor Kenny, she said, your voice sounds so sincere. It melted her heart, because a lot of men are not sincere, passionate about losing children. And so that gave her great comfort. She got pregnant with a set of triplets and almost died, bled out. After that, she did have a rainbow baby. But after that, her husband committed suicide. And all of this is putting things into listening to this show for her is putting things into perspective. And so I just wanted to say thank you for her, because she's too embarrassed to call in, Donna. And she just wanted you to know that this was very warming, and somebody now knows, because for her, she feels like she's all alone and people just dismiss her. And so this was really, really good for her. So I just wanted to say that and thank you guys for doing the shows that you do. People don't know unless they call how much help we get from Family Matters with Kenny and Kwajalein. And so I just wanted to say thank you for that.
Well, bless God. Thank you very much. That means a lot. You know, in all honesty, you know, it just me opening up a lot, it takes a lot to do that, you know, and it took a lot to do that over the years, but I don't mind sharing my experiences, because I know, you know, me being able to share what I've gone through, and just the fact of, you know, hearing Sister Donna say what she said is just, like, awesome, you know, because most of the time I just get on here and you know, y'all know me, I like to talk now. So I was talking because it really did come from the heart. So, again, I say thank you, Pastor Michelle. Thank you definitely for pushing the word out. And thanks to the rest of the callers that are actually pushing the word out, because we're seeing our numbers, you know, on a weekly basis starting to rise and go up, and we're actually getting different voices on the lines. So that's a blessing from the Lord, and I thank you all, and we love y'all. We really do.
We love you, too.
I want to say this to you.
Thank you.
I want to say this to you, Kenny. I thank God for you sharing from a man's husband, a father's point of view to the male gender, because in the old days, as they would say, or olden days, the men didn't have those emotions or feelings like that toward the women. They felt like the women, that was their place to get pregnant, continue to do work, housework, no matter how they felt. They didn't have that sincere or sensitive feeling toward the woman. But listening to you, I thank God for you sharing that with the male gender. And I'm sure the ones that are listening, that they have fallen over into that pathway to being there for their wives and being there for their female partner when they were carrying babies. My son is one. I'm very proud of him because he stands by his wife. And whenever she was pregnant, he stood there. He stood, he did. And I'm just saying, I'm taking my hat and I'm going to tilt my hat to what God did through me to teach my son how to be a father, how to be a husband. Even though his
Amen.
Dad did, but 75 to 80% of it came from mom. Do you all know that we are partners with God? And if you ask God through his son Jesus to teach us how to be a parent, how to be a spouse, how to be a friend, anything that we need, all we got to do is ask him. And he will show us, and he will teach us, and he will give us that heart toward each other. So I just wanted to share that. I thank you for sharing your experiences as the male.
Amen. Well, thank you, Mom. Thank you very much. And I'm overjoyed with all the love I'm getting. You know, this is good. You know, because sometimes I did feel out of place. Because you know, as usual, I'm most of the time I'm the only male. You know, but I thank God. You know, I got my boy Keto online with me tonight, so we good to go. You know what I'm saying? I got another male on the line with me. And ladies, you know, thank y'all for calling in, and I'm just grateful to God.
And I want to say a couple more things before we leave. First of all, I'm just going to pick about off Mama, then I'm going to go back to Donna. Yes, I do. I thank God for my husband, because I do know women who have gone through miscarriages and stillbirths, and they were alone. You know, they're baby's father wasn't there. And so I thank God for that. And I thank God that my husband was always there through the infertility, through everything. He was never angry at me, because that was one thing I was concerned about when I lost the girls. I thought he was going to be mad at me. And I finally asked him one day, and, you know, and he told me that he wasn't, but that was one of my fears. And even after I had the two miscarriages here, I was like, Lord, I don't lost another one of this man's babies. And that's really how I felt. I did. And, you know, so sometimes we deal with that as well. But I thank God that he never has never blamed me for anything. He's always been there, always supported, you know, been supportive. And baby, I do. I thank you for that. I really, really honestly do. Because that means a lot. And I want to say, Pastor Michelle, yes, thank you for inviting, you know, for getting the word out there and everybody else. And Donna, you are not alone. And Pastor Michelle will give you my number if you ever want to talk. Thank you for the positive feedback. But you are not alone. And I do pray that God will heal every void that is in your heart and that he will heal every hurt that you have. And I pray that he will give you the answers that you so desire from him in the name of Jesus. I do pray that for you. Everybody, I thank you all for calling. Thank you for staying on the line, for listening. This has been a good show. I want to say that on next Tuesday, baby, I want you to give them the topic for next Tuesday. Listen, he's going to give you all the topic for next Tuesday. If you know anyone that needs this, please, please, please have them to call in. This is going to be a very, very good show.
Okay, Tuesday's topic will be 1 November or November 1st. Use my military term, talk right now, let me get it right. November 1st at 8 p.m., and the topic is learning to love when you never learned to. Learning to love
wow.
when you never learned to. And I just pray, you know, I pray that the Lord actually uses me to be able to say exactly what needs to be said to people that are on the line listening, whether it's by streaming or they're calling into the show. But look, y'all, this show is going to be power. It's going to be powerful. And I honestly believe, you know, in my heart that it's going to be a tearjerker. So if you have some people that really need some clarity, you have some people that really need to know some things about themselves or just have had this process of trying to figure out where do I stand in all of this, please have them call in on Tuesday. Because, you know, the Word of God says iron sharpens iron, and we're gonna get it done for the Lord and for the kingdom.
Right. You know, people that have gone through their childhood and they didn't receive love, and now they're parents and they're trying to learn how to love. Or how to love their spouses. So, you know, I'm excited about the show. When he told me that God gave him that tonight, that made me very excited. So I look forward to that. But we're going to do it on a Tuesday because Friday, we know it's Free Flow Friday, so we're going to do that on next Tuesday. But we thank you all. We look forward to you calling in on Free Flow Friday. We're going to have a good topic. I would like to... Well, I'm going to tell him what I want to discuss first, then I'll put it out. But so, you know, you guys call in, please, and tell other people. And check us out on Facebook, Family Matters with Kenny and Kwajalein. And check out my blog, Heart to Inspire. And, again, ladies who are listening in, if you were not listening in, do your breath checks. Got to make sure we take care of ourselves. All right. Love you guys, and everyone have a wonderful night.
Love you.
You too. Love you too. Thank
night.
You.
Love you.
Evangelist Tuber.
I forgot. I'll get her to do it on Friday. I'll have her to do it on Friday. Oh, okay.
Bye.